stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and sorrow.
Praising that every Thank you for that beautiful song. I don't believe our brother is a stranger probably to anyone here, and so he probably doesn't need a whole lot of introduction. But he sometimes gets some jokes about, you know, the length of the time he spends up here, but that comes from his dedication and his enthusiasm for the service of our Lord. And so I challenge you this morning to come with that same enthusiasm, that same dedication to receive the word that he's prepared himself to present this morning. I ask that you might look within your hearts and minds and put aside those cares and those clutters and find that thirst and that hunger to be fed from the word of the Lord this morning. And if you have that hunger and that thirst, we have the promise that we will indeed be fed a great meal. And so I'd ask this morning that you'd give your careful, your considerate, and your prayerful attention to our brother Hubert Yates as he presents the message of the hour.
Glenn, you're all safe. I didn't bring a sack lunch today, so it won't be quite so long. However, I would have to say that there seems to be so much to be said concerning our Lord, of His love and of His compassion, of His tenderness, of His patience. There's so much, like the scripture says, that the world couldn't hold the books if all things were written concerning our Lord and Master. And so as I stand before you today, I'm going to have it's going to be a different sermon. So I ask for you to pray for me that I might get it together properly as my thoughts came to me as I studied and prayed. It's like the scripture says about our Lord, there's not a beginning nor an end. And as I think upon those things, how true it is. I want to thank my son and my daughter and my granddaughter for that beautiful hymn. It's the music touches the hearts of the children of men. I have often thought, as I read the scriptures and as I think upon the birth of Christ, I've often thought what it would be to be a shepherd in the field and hear the angels sing. You know, I've read in history, I've read in the Restoration Gospel where there's been those that have the privilege to hear angels sing. And it's been hard for them to even to express the beauty and the harmony and the spirit that touched their soul. And you know how true that is. How true that is. And I was thinking this morning, Amy, that your great-grandmother would enjoy being here and hear you play that song. That's for sure. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is like a puzzle. It's a puzzle that as you put each piece of the gospel of Christ together, you begin to see the picture of eternal life that the Lord has presented before us by word and by living it. And as each piece comes together, you see more of the beauty that He has prepared for the children of men. We see more as we go along. We see how that the colors blend together in such beauty. The colors of life. And how beautiful it is. Just like as we stretch out across the mountains and the lakes and we see the country and we see the flowers. And you see the flowers, how the colors blend in beauty. He had an eye for beauty. He had an eye for beauty even to the way of eternal life. And you know, as I come, I rejoice. I rejoice as I have an opportunity to come here and I really enjoy the Sunday school class. Because the Sunday school class tells me of the things that are really fulfilling Scripture as we listen to it. It fulfills the Scriptures that verifies the witness of the Lord. And it adds to that picture. It adds to that puzzle that He has laid before us. And I'm going to read a scripture in Amos, the third chapter. I'm going to read the seventh verse, and it's a verse that's common to us that are here today. He says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secrets unto His servants, the prophets." And you know, as we come and last night when we came to the program and we heard them verifying through song and through the things that were brought out, and my brother Don brought out the deal that he read there concerning the things of the evidence of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and of those things, of the evidence of those things. You know, I marvel at God that He has not left us hanging in the air to preach the gospel. Because He has preserved and sufficiently caused to be written words that would edify the hearts of the children of men and teach them of their God and of His Son, their Lord and Master, so that we could know Him. So we wouldn't have to say, well, we worship somebody that we don't know. Just like He said in the Scriptures there, He says, how in the world can you serve a master that you've never known? You have to know Him. And so He has provided for us a written word. And He has provided and He has prophesied. And as we said in our Sunday school class, we hear that prophecy coming forth. We know from the very beginning that man has been rebellious against God. We know that because we find that in the Garden of Eden. They wouldn't believe Him when He said, if you eat of that tree, ye shall die. And old Satan said, no, you won't. You're okay. Just like he whispers to the hearts of the children of men today. The same thing. And we see the beginning of the preparedness of the thing that you were talking about today, this brother. When you talk and you think about, well, my goodness, how about Cain and Abel? They were sacrificing for the remission of sin. They were sacrificing for that type that would come and give His life on the cross. Throughout all the generations of time, Those things have been brought to mind by the power of God, that even in the beginning, before He was born as a babe, so that they would recognize Him and recognize the need to apply the gospel of Christ. That they would begin to see as the puzzle comes together, as they started in the beginning. They see as the puzzle comes together, they see the power of God as He brought forth those things that would edify us to the way to eternal life. Of the do's and the don'ts, and of the yeses and the no's. Of those things that would cause us to have a desire to yield. To yield our souls and our mind and our actions. To yield them to His will. And to the things that He would have us to do. That we would have a light that would glorify Him in His holy kingdom. And so this has been brought down through the years, even a bright light that was over the sun, the star. That was over the sun when He came and He gave birth. And I'd like to read, like in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to cover several subjects today, and you're going to find in them there are many subjects, perhaps, that I'm going to hit very lightly, that indeed you could bring your sandwiches and bring your lunch, and we could continue in many different subjects to tell of our Lord and Master, to tell of our God. For the Scriptures is full of it. It's full of the edification of the truthfulness of the gospel of Christ. The world, as you heard our brother read last night, the world, even those who aren't embraced of the gospel of Christ and has nothing to do with the restored gospel, even they can see that those things that has been caused to be written by the holy men of old, as they were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost, that they were caused to be written, that they find the evidence of those things. The truthfulness. Another piece of the puzzle that says believe. Have faith and know that I'm the rewarder of them who diligently seek Me. That we can understand those things and see them and recognize them. And recognize it throughout all that He's done and through the things that we have been studying and through through Exodus, and throughout the Holy Scripture, you're going to find that it points to the way of eternal life. And that way of eternal life is the Son of God. And there is no other way nor means whereby one can be saved. It points to that Jesus Christ. It points to that little child that was born in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. It points to Him. And there is no other way. But like Paul Harvey would say sometimes, that's only part of the story. That's only part of the story. That little babe that's laying in the manger had been working and instructing and teaching throughout all the generations of time prior to His birth even, so that He could save the souls of the children of men. Save the souls of people just like you and I. And sometimes even more rebellious than us. That He hath done that all the way through. I heard my son sing that song last night. That you've kissed the face of your God. And that He is the great I Am. He has been. Through all the generations of time, He has been that I Am that I Am. He has been the nucleus and the power that would caress the hearts of the children of men and cause them to have a desire to know their God and to be obedient to His holy law. He has been that strength that allowed them to overcome the ways of Satan and the evil, and to rebuke him and cause him to flee. That little babe in the manger, that little babe in the manger wasn't the beginning. He has loved the children of men from the very beginning and has worked with them and taught them and gave them the way to eternal life. Even the law of Moses that we're studying, even those things that we've been going through, the Holy Scripture says that they were added because of transgression of the children of men. Because they were rebellious like Adam and Eve in the garden. They're going to eat that fruit or else. And today we're in that same position. You and I, we are in that period of time that our brother said this day. We're in the period of time of probation. We're in the period of probation for ourselves. Today is a period of time of probation for Hubert Yates. And you know, truly, there's not a one of us in this room know how much time has been allotted unto us. And so we can't afford to not take seriously our Lord. We can't afford to decide, well, we'll put him off till next year when I think I got more time and I don't want to, you know, I'll probably be through sowing my wild oats and everything. We'll put him off till next year. No. You know, it's dangerous for us to put him off in our lives one moment. Because he is the source of all the blessings of life. He is the source of all the good. He is that source of all the good that touches the souls of the children of men, and their lives comes from the Lord. And that's another part. Where do you start? You start on the borders. You start learning. You start at the borders of the puzzle of eternal life. You start at the borders and you put the borders together, and then you start filling it in and you try to look at it and you say, yes, this color works for that color there. This is the charity that he says we're to have in these the last days. And you see the color of it, how beautiful it is. And it matches with this compassion and this mercy, this forgiveness. You see how that fits in? You see how the puzzle of Christ comes together to edify us and to teach us so that we can see it with our own eyes? That we can see the action? He says they know us by our fruits. People can see by our actions the parts of the puzzle. We're part of that puzzle. By heritage, we're part of that puzzle. To be an example for God and a witness for Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're part of that puzzle. We're coming together. That's part of our probation, is to live according to the law of the eternal God. I'm going to read as in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. A familiar scripture, I'm going to read the 6th verse. He says, "For unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Boy, when he said that he would be called Wonderful, how true. Because he's wonderful to those who believe. He's a marvel. We marvel at his love. We marvel at his patience. We marvel at the way that he can move anything, that there's all things are within his power, even to rebuke the angry seas and the winds, or to walk upon the water, opposite of everything that the science and everything says is possible. He can do all things. Whatsoever he so desires, there's no stopping point in him. He can do all things. And you and I have the opportunity to visit to him and to talk to him in prayer. You and I have a visit to the desire to visit with Him and to learn more of Him and to learn what are the desires that He has for us as a collective, as a body, or as individuals. What is it that He wants me to accomplish? What is it? What is it that He would have me do? We know that He would have me accomplish, if I could, to live in a way that I'd bear a light that would glorify my Father which is in heaven. He knows that. We know that. We know that He's asking us to live the life that Christ lived. He says, follow thou me and do the things that you see me do. And how important that is. And through all the generations of time, the Word of God has gone out to follow my Son, obey my Son, listen to His words, watch His examples, that you can come and live with us. This has always been. We're talking about that little babe in the manger. That little babe in the manger that grew up and walked on the seashores, rode an ass through the city of Jerusalem. In His compassion, He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I gather you, the hen would gather chicks, and you would not. But the important thing today is that you and I allow the Lord to gather us, that we would listen. We wouldn't be some that would be some of those that we would not. That we would listen to that voice that calls us, that voice that calls us out of the world, that voice that calls us to that Son of God, that infant that was born in a manger, that voice that speaks to us and says, follow thou me. That voice that says, be a witness to me. Be ready to tell anybody at any time, He says, why you have the hope that's within you. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever stop to think, just offhand, did you ever stop to think how important it is and how sometimes hard it is to tell someone why you have the hope that's within you? Especially if they don't believe to start with. That whatever you have to say, they don't want to believe. They want to challenge you. They want to argue with you. It's not an easy chore. It's not an easy chore to tell anybody why you have the hope within you. The only thing that you know is that you can do the best you can and you know that you've tried. They might not listen. But you know that you've tried. It's just like that little son in the there in the manger, you know. There's a lot of the world don't believe in Him. But there's one thing about it. We can take the gospel of Christ to the world and we'll know that we've tried to tell them of that love. Tried to tell them of that light that shines before us. That we would know, that we could come out and visit with them. I'd like to take you over, not only there, I'd like to have you go over to the second book of Nephi. I think it's on page 128. There in the second book of Nephi, I want to read the 66th verse. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You know, we know that in the second book here, we know that this is around 600 B.C. or less, probably about 559 B.C. where I'm reading in the Book of Mormon. We know that we're reading here in Isaiah is about 745 B.C. We know that the brother that said that he's going to speak to his prophets and have them prophesy, that he lived in about 787 B.C. He lived before Isaiah to prophesy. Yet we see, you know, that the Lord says a prophecy was given so you and I could believe. Isn't that a beautiful piece in that puzzle? That you and I could study the prophecies, and my brother tonight is going to bring forth some of that prophecy because it was prophesied so that you could believe. It was prophesied so that we could know what was going to happen and we could believe. That was the purpose of it. So that we could see the fulfillment of those very things that he caused to be written that says it's going to happen not yesterday but in the days to come, sometimes thousands of years down the vista of time. But he called it so that you and I would know that there is a God. That there is a God. So you and I could know and believe that there was that little babe that was born in a manger that was wrapped in swaddling clothes because the prophecy said so. As well as the historians. And I don't have time to go into all that, but the historians that wrote of the babe. The historians that wrote that when they tried to kill the babe, they went down and killed all the little children, boys down there, and thought they'd try to get him. The historian that has written of the evidence and of the fact of those things that has come forth by the power of God as he moved those brothers to write and to pen to edify us in this period of time of 2004 and 2005 and of the future so that you would know that indeed that there was that babe born in a manger. That babe that carried the light. That babe that rose up at 12 years old, confounded them in the synagogue because of his great knowledge and understanding. That babe that continued to rise up and ended up giving his life for an example for people to believe and to know that there was life beyond the grave. That just like the Lord says, it just sleepeth. So that we could understand. So that we could again find the proper place to fit into that puzzle of eternal life. Another piece of puzzle that pulls in that says, here this God gave his life and was resurrected the third day. That you can see those things. That you could see part of that puzzle when it says that the house of Israel was going to go back to Jerusalem. That you could see part of that puzzle in a six-day war. The fulfillment of the prophecy that was given. That it would no longer be under the power of the Gentiles, but under the house of Israel. And that happened in 1967 in the Six-Day War. That we could see the fulfillment. But you can't see it if you're not looking at the puzzle. It wouldn't make any difference if the puzzle was complete. If you won't look at it. If you don't believe. Of what value is it? In your life. You have to believe. You have to know that he has provided a way, that little babe in the manger, that he provided the way to eternal life for those who would believe, to those who would yield their will to his and be submissive, to those who would reach out and stretch forth their hand and hold his. And walk with him. They would know. They would know. And you know, so oftentimes when you're putting a piece of puzzle together and you say, oh boy, look at there, it fits. How many times have we experienced the power of the Almighty God? How many times in this room that I look among you, how many times are there that we have spiritually had God direct and bless and heal and move, you know, it would be impossible for the brothers and sisters here within the sound of my voice today to tell all the experiences that they have had where God has heard our prayers, who has blessed us, has directed us. Even sometimes when we wanted to hold back and we didn't want to go, and he had talked us into finally going, and we found how the joy of the Spirit would fill us when we're obedient to His holy law. That's how it would be. That's why He said that life, more abundance, would come. He came that we'd have it more abundantly. He came that we would have a hope that would remain through all the generations of our time and the generations to come. The hope that not only touches me, but will touch my granddaughter that played this day, and my grandsons, and my great-grandson, that would touch and hold them and embrace them and have the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to them and let them know that God is, and that babe was born in the manger to save their soul, to make an atonement for them. Atonement for them. That through being obedient, we will have the opportunity to come and to live with Him and His Father. To do those things that are essential that we might have that eternal life. That we might know and that we might have those things that we could look at it and understand and know of those things. I would like to turn over in the Book of Mormon. I'm going over to the first chapter of Ether. And there in the first chapter of Ether, I'm going to start in the 77th verse. And this is when the Lord stretched forth His finger and He touched the stone and He gave them light. He's the one that gives light. He's the one, He's the sponsor of it. He's the power that generates it. He's not a dead battery. He's very much alive and charged clear up to reach out and to motivate and to touch and to direct the hearts of those who will yield to Him. He's ready. He's ready. And when you cry out and say, Lord, help me, He's not so weak that He can't stretch forth His hand and touch you. He's always there. He's always there. If we in humility and meekness cry out unto Him, He's there. And He's not there some weakling, He's there with the power of all the earth. He's there with the power to move the heavens and the earth, or the mountains, or to walk on the water, or to do the different things, or to the very power that you and I sometimes can't even comprehend when He looked down and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And boy, look at the misery and the suffering He went through. Yet He could still say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That power can be yours and mine, just like it was Stephen's when he says, lay not this charge to these people that are stoning me to death and are biting me. What He has put before us and what He has prepared for us in the picture or in the puzzle of eternal life is something that you and I are capable of grasping if we're willing to yield our heart to the point to allow Him to mold it to suit His pleasure and recognize that it's important that this old piece of clay allows the master, allows the potter to mold this clay, that it would be a vessel of righteousness and a vessel that would bear a light for his Father in heaven, a vessel that would grow, a vessel that, you know, people might come against, like the scripture says, but if they come against wrongly, it's of no value. All this power, all these things that we have a right to have to help us to resist Satan. The scripture says if we do it right, we can even rebuke Satan and cause him to flee. Is that not so? We find it that we've rebuked the evil spirit more than once. I know there's some of us in this room that has had that experience, that where we had rebuked the evil spirit and caused it to flee. Haven't we, Jim? You bet. So that power is there. That babe that came and we saw raised. Oh, yes, he had to flee and the dad took him away and Joseph took him, but he brought him back. But that lad rose up to be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He rose up to be the power to eternal life, to direct our lives, to speak to us, to send the Holy Spirit that would teach us all things whatsoever he hath commanded, so that we would have a chance to come to him, to know him, if we would receive it. If we would receive it. Those of us that have the opportunity to come tonight, you're going to hear, as my brother Don, I don't know what he's going to bring out, but I'm going to tell you one thing. He has told us scripturally in the Holy Scriptures and brought out of the 1260 years that the gospel would be taken away and the things that would stand and come to pass at the restoring of that gospel after 1260 years. And it was so. It's been so. Those prophecies have been fulfilled. Those prophecies have been fulfilled to the very letter. They have been brought forth. You know, I want to read perhaps maybe in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. I said I wasn't going to bring a line through and I hadn't even got started. But I want to read in the 55th chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to read the 6th verse, probably down through the 11th. He says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Seek the Lord while he may be found. And you know, that might sound funny to somebody because I just said he's here and he's around. He is here. But the scriptures also says if you and I keep rejecting him out of our hearts and won't allow him to come into our life and lead us, he says, "My spirit will not always strive with man because they reject him." He has given us our own free agency according to the Holy Scripture. And we have a right to choose, and we can receive that spirit, and we can receive that babe in the manger. Or we can deny him or reject him or don't want to have anything to do with him. We can keep him out of our life and live a life that is ungodly and unrighteous before the Lord and caught up into the world. We have a right to reject that Holy Spirit. We have a right to reject that Lord and not allow him to come in and to influence our life and our thinking and give us the ability to forgive and to be loving, to give us the ability to have a desire to bear the fruit that's meet for the souls of the children of men, that if they partake of it, they would come alive in Jesus Christ, that they would come alive in him, that they would come alive in him. I'm going to read here in on page 721 in the Book of Mormon. This is another prophecy we're going to hear. I'm going to start in the 77th verse. He says, "Behold, I am he." This is Christ speaking to the brother of Jared. He says, "I am he who was prepared from the foundation of the world." Remember what we've heard? Remember what we've heard in the song and in different things, that Christ was prepared before the foundation of the world to save you, to save me. Boy, did you ever stop to think about that? His father must be an awful loving father also. Boy, he'd have to love us an awful lot to send his son to die for us. A miserable death. But he was prepared before the foundation of the world to bring part of that puzzle of life to us and make it alive so that we can see how important it is to follow after the teachings of his son. Behold, I am prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. In me shall all mankind have life, and that eternally. Even they who shall believe on my name, and they shall become my sons and daughters. You know, I really believe that I'm looking upon the sons and daughters of God this morning. But you know, like us, you know, we expect more from our children than we do somebody out the way across the street, don't we? Parents can tell you, yes. We expect our children to be something above the regular. We expect more of them than we do somebody across the street or some guy down that we work with or whatever the case may be. And God expects more of you and I because we're his sons and his daughters. He expects more of us. He expects us to love him. He expects us to have that love with all our might, mind, and strength. He expects us to apply the Holy Word to our life so that the world can see that there is a Church of Christ upon the face of this earth. That the Son of God has a wife here. Of the sons and daughters that believe with all their hearts. And never have I showed myself unto man, whom I have created, for never has man believed in me as thou hast. Seest thou that thou art created after mine image, after mine own image? Yea, even all men were created in the beginning after mine own image. Behold, this body which ye now behold is the body of my spirit. And man have I created after the body of my spirit. And even as I appear unto thee in the spirit, will I appear unto my people in the flesh. Here's a prophecy that was delivered in 2200 B.C. that says, you know, even as I appear unto you in the spirit, I will appear unto them in the flesh. Didn't that happen? And now, as I, Moroni, said, I could not make a full account of these things which are written. Therefore, it suffereth me to say that Jesus showed himself unto this man in the spirit, even after the manner and in the likeness of the same body, even as he showed himself unto the Nephites. Did you ever think about that? That he saw that spirit, and that the same spirit that he showed himself in the same physical body unto the Nephites and unto the Jews in Jerusalem and unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, where the 7th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi said he was going to be sent. There's a prophecy. There's prophecies that are coming forth to edify us. Prophecies that we're seeing. Prophecies that we're living through today. We're fulfilling prophecy. We're preparing at the time of the second coming of Christ. We're reaching out more into the world. We're seeing more of the world in terrible condition. A tribulation, he says, such will never be before, will never be again. We're seeing the preparedness of those things. Things that you and I got to prepare ourselves to live in. Yes, you know, it's important that we think about those things. It's important that we realize that we have to go to the Word of God and we have to apply it to our lives. And the beautiful part about that, somebody say, well, does that mean that that you can't get killed, or that mean that you can't die, or does that mean that, you won't have suffering? Does that mean this? Does that mean that? It means one thing. If you're killed and you're living the life you're supposed to live and your puzzle is together, what difference does it make? If we're living the life we're supposed to live and the Lord calls us home, what joy that will be. It wouldn't make any difference. If we aren't living that life, if we have neglected to endeavor to put the puzzle of life together through Jesus Christ, we've lost. And so as a result, in any way that we have a right to do the things that He would have us to do and to rejoice in them. I'm going to read in the 8th chapter of St. John. I'm going to start in the 29th verse. I'm going to bounce around a little bit because my time's running. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. I'm here to state to you that if you do those things that please Him, He doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't leave you alone. I'm here to state that you can literally feel the presence of Him when you kneel down to pray. Whether it's here or whether it's in your own secluded closet, you can feel the Spirit. You know He's there. You know He's listening. You know He's lending an ear. You know that. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us alone. If we're alone, it's because we've turned our back on Him and run off into the wilderness. He doesn't leave us alone. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Take notice, there's a part of that puzzle that we are to continue in His word. If we're to be His disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Isn't that beautiful? How fantastic that is, that you would know the truth and the truth shall make you free. That's what's so important. You know, yesterday we celebrated the birth of life. And this is the day after, and we're looking forward now to a new year. And people are making yearly resolutions, and some they'll make just like me. I've made resolutions. I thought, boy, this next year I'm this and that. And some I make and some I fall on the wayside and I don't get them done. But people are making new reservations, new things. They're coming up with different things than they want to do, and one thing and another. But you know something? That's not sufficient. If we want to make resolutions, we make resolutions to be obedient unto the commandments of God each day and moment of our life. It's the Lord in red letters that says you take up your cross daily, not yearly. You take up your cross daily and come and follow Me. How important it is that we realize that it's not something that we can put off and say, okay, now we're going to set this year now. We're going to have it this year. I've made up my mind. Boy, at the beginning now, I'm going to this or that. He says, you set daily, you take your cross daily, he says, and come and follow me. He didn't say wait till the year, because you might not be here the first of the year. We might be taken home. We are to take up our cross daily and come and follow him. I'm going to go around a lot of my scriptures. It's the Lord that says, I am the light and the life of the children of men. God has not set a path for you and I to travel without light. The scripture says that the world loved darkness rather than light. But he has a light there so that you and I can see the way. He has not set a path for us to travel that there isn't a light. And that light is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our light is that babe that was born in the manger. Our light is the very same light that said to Adam and Eve, don't eat of that fruit. It's our light that has said to him, you know, you sacrifice for a type for the coming of my son. And his blood is shed. The light that says, if you follow thou me, you'll be my sons and daughters. That's the light. That's the light that's open before us. And it tells us in the Book of Mormon, not only is he the light, but he is the righteousness. He's the power that brings us to that righteousness. He's the power that brings us to those things. He's the one that brings us over. And you know, it's important when he has set our course. When he set our course, you know, Brother Don and I was both on 83-footers. I was in second command on there, and he was the officer on one. We weren't on the same one together because we were in different times. But when he plotted a course in the fog, he didn't have just half a compass, did you, Don? It wouldn't work. It takes all the compass, and it takes all your prayers and all your figuring that you got it right on the money, or you're going to sink. And when you start off, it's sort of like on life. If you start off and say, well, that's pretty good, we're only 1 degree off, and you're 1 degree off here, and by the time you finish, you're way off over here. And we have seen that so many times, even in restorations that have separated themselves from the Church of Christ, and now they don't even want to believe in the Book of Mormon anymore. You see where when you start a course, that you need to plot the course according to Christ. Just like the Book of Mormon says, it's just as easy to follow Christ as it was to follow the Lehona, the compass. That's our job. That's our heritage. In any year, at any time of the year, we're to take up our cross and to follow him. At any time. Not occasionally, not if, well, you know, if we think of everything, it'll be all right, you know, or something like that. But it is indeed something that we must do regularly. I'm going to turn over to page 600, I think, and 651. I'm going to read the 48th and 49th verse. He says, as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church and among my people who do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. He says, I'm the light. And I set an example for you. That light, that infant, that babe that was born in the manger, that light. That walked with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And he said, they're not burnt. But I see a fourth one, and the fourth one is like unto the Son of God. That light. That light that has been interested in your soul and my soul and the souls all through the generations of time. And has prepared, and he didn't throw away any of the puzzle. Everything that is necessary for you to see the picture of eternal life, for you to see those things and the way. Every piece of that puzzle is before us. He didn't throw some of it in the garbage can. He hasn't taken it and done something else with it. Every piece that there is essential for our soul's welfare is just sitting on the table prepared for us to fit it in as we yield and be submissive to our God. Every time we do that, we set in another piece of that puzzle where we see the beauty. Where we see the beauty of eternal life. Where we see the beauty of the gospel of Christ. Where we see the beauty of those things that are so important. We see the part of that that is really fantastic. And you know, it's something that we got to realize. It's something that we have to realize. That it's there at all times. And if you and I don't want to put it together, that's up to us, because we do have our own free agency. But if we want to put that puzzle together, we'll do just like we heard sung this morning. We'll fall on our knees and ask God to direct us. We'll fall on our knees and seek of Him the power to understand that there be no scales in our eye, but we can see with clarity and with perfect vision of the way to eternal life, that we might set each piece of the puzzle in one by one and have them fit in our eternal life. How important that is. I'm going to read. We're closing. I'm going to read in the 13th chapter, the second book of Nephi. And I imagine that there's many of you here already know what I'm going to read. I'm going to read all the 29th verse down through the 32nd. He says, wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. Wow, there's a piece of puzzle that we need to apply. That we have a perfect love for God and of all men. And I'm telling you, maybe sometimes it's easier for us to love God than it is for some men, because they really get on our nerves. But it can be done in Jesus Christ our Lord. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. Boy, what a piece of puzzle. We want to get into that puzzle, don't we? That's a piece we don't want to leave on the table, do we? And now, behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way. And there is none other way nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ. And the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. That this is the doctrine of Christ and the Father. And the Holy Ghost, that's the only way, and there's no other way nor means whereby man can enter into the kingdom of heaven, only through that babe, only through, only through the one that said, now Adam and Eve, you can have anything in this garden, but don't eat of that tree. Yes. Only through the Son of God, only through the one that was prepared before the foundation of the world. I wish I had time to go into some of these things with you, but I don't. But I'm going to read one last scripture, and it's in the fourth chapter of Acts. It's a well-known scripture. They ask Peter, you know, I said, well, how in the world did this man that was crippled by the gate beautiful, how was he healed? What's going on here? And it tells us, says, then Peter, I'm starting in the eighth verse, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, take notice that Peter wasn't just saying, well, you know, I think that it says Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how he was speaking, under the authority and power of the Almighty God. Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day examined of the good deed done in this impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might not be by the gate beautiful, and I might not be by the gate beautiful. But if I am to be whole spiritually, it'll have to be by that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. And there isn't any other name, nor ways, nor means, whereby we can become whole other than by and through him. Which means we must reach out to him. We must seek. We must study. We must endeavor to daily take up our cross and follow him. And we must be willing, if we have formed opinions that are opposite of him, or decide to do something that he'd rather have us not do, that we have the spiritual strength to change or to not do the thing that he'd rather not have us do. That's another piece and a final piece of the puzzle that we want in, so that when we stand before the judgment seat of God, he would say, you've opened up your heart when I knocked on the door, and I come in and I sup with you, and my blood has made you whole. Thank you.
Thank you, Hubert. And we will close this morning's service.